What a blessing that was. Thank you, Chris and Felicity. Friends, you've heard it acknowledged that in the last 5 or 6 weeks, the conversations with Brenda shifted a little bit because we talked often. But in the last 5 or 6 weeks, they changed a bit. She was done with what had become her new norm. She was done with being stuck in a bed. She was done traipsing back and forth to the hospital to be poked and prodded. She was done with that. And I asked her, I said, Brenda, do you want us to just be intentional and have a conversation about what you want? And she says, yeah. And it became known as our yellow pad conversation because it would, well, bring your yellow pad and come over. Or she would call me and say, hey, you need to put this on the yellow pad. Don't forget, Mary Noble, put this on the yellow pad. So the yellow pad has stayed close by me the last 5 or 6 weeks. The first thing that she said that was written on that yellow pad, I want this as simple as humanly possible. And the second thing, she didn't put a period at the end of that. She put a brief pause and kept going. And I want it as easy for Phil and Kelly as possible. All in the same breath, she knew what she wanted, and she was looking out for these two. The third thing she said was, do not inconvenience anybody. She says, I really don't want all that fuss, Mary Noble. I really don't think people are going to show up. And I just shook my head and said, Brenda, yeah, I think a few people are going to show up. Please let us do this. For you see, she didn't want a big fuss. She didn't want a lot of attention. What she wanted was what we did Thursday, a simple, private interment with family. But once she realized that it would be helpful to Phil and to Kelly and to all of us, to have a service where we could come together, to cry together, to love on one another, to be together, she shifted. She went in that planning mode, and if there was going to be a service, she was going to have input on how and what happened. I see you smiling and nodding. We are talking about the same lady. She was a planner. She was an organizer. She knew she wanted Chris to sing, and don't we understand why? She knew she wanted Ann Doris and Felicity to play the piano. She knew she wanted Calvin to do the slideshow that I hope you all got to see before this service. And she picked out the photos with Phil's help, and she said, I have to make sure I look cute in all of them. She did. She selected, she wanted Laurie and Pat and me to speak in this time. She was quick to share her favorite scriptures that were Jeremiah 29:11, as you have heard, and Psalm 103, verses 11 and 12 that you'll hear in a moment. She just kept saying, do you really think people are going to show up? I really would hate for them not to show up after all that planning. She also wanted us to all know that she was funny until the end. And she did, family, wasn't that right? The last days, she was making us laugh. She was being funny to the end. And one of these moments of planning the service and being funny, she had told me the Jeremiah scripture, she had told me the Psalm 103 scripture, and she says, now, Mary Noble, you've got to include this scripture too. And I said, sure, what is it? Well, you know, Mary Noble, that scripture about the nagging wife and the dripping water, I shook my head for a moment going, seriously, Brenda Byram, I'm going to have to stand up and incorporate scripture about a nagging wife and dripping water. So hear these words. Hey, I do what Brenda said do. From Proverbs 29, gentlemen, it really is in the Bible. Except it says quarrelsome. She said nagging, potato, potato. Hear these words, Proverbs 27, verses 15 and 16. A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. Friends, not only did she select that, she has it marked and dated February 24th of 2014. This is her Bible that we are using today. For friends, we're here because we experienced a unique lady, an amazing person, and I'd like to share a little bit with you about what I have learned from her across these years. You heard me mention that Psalm 103 was her favorite. One of her favorite scriptures, but her favorite psalm. And this scripture is about praising God. This scripture is about speaking into the wideness of God's love, the wideness and the vastness of God's mercy, and the amazing forgiveness that our God has for us. So hear these words, which Brenda had marked in her Bible for us, highlighted and asterisked and dated in multiple places. Hear these words. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Friends, that verse 11 is, high is the love God has for us. Love is what I would describe as Brenda. She loved deeply. She loved all deeply. But she loved her family. Phil and Kelly, you know she loved you deeply. You were her priority. Kelly, how many times would she say, you're her favorite son? And Kelly would respond, I'm your only son. And she would quickly say, but if I had many others, you would still be my favorite, Kelly. May that always be near and dear to you, Kelly. And what a special relationship Phil and Brenda had. Joy and love were just tightly united. I saw a lot of that joy. Even in Vanderbilt one day, of that 30-some-odd days she was at Vanderbilt, Phil was so good. Anything that might have sounded good to Brenda, he was off to find it. And somehow she thought a tuna fish sandwich sounded good, which led to a great debate, conversation, of her saying a tuna fish sandwich and Phil saying, it's just tuna, it's redundant, you don't need the fish. And friends, this conversation went on just what I know. It went on for days. Mary Noble, don't you know it's tuna fish. I was like, no, this girl is not getting in the middle of that conversation. They had joy in all things, even tuna fish, tuna sandwiches. To her family, she loved you, and I know you know that. We here at Rehoboth heard about you all the time. I felt like I knew all of you before I even met you. I was able to come up, and I knew that was Shirley I was speaking to. Before I had met you, I knew that from the way Brenda had described her love of you. So she loved you. You were often in her conversations and her thoughts. And Barry, how often she talked about you to us, of how much you did for their family these last couple of years. The burden you lifted from her, the joy you brought her, and she was thankful. Brenda also loved people. So that love that's talked about in Psalm 103, the love that the psalmist talks about, the love that we saw Brenda live out, was a love of people. I heard many times in these last weeks, I just love people, Mary Noble. And we saw that in the way she lived. She said it takes so little to make people feel special. Never miss an opportunity to encourage someone, she said. Her mission was to encourage people and to show her love. Even some of the doctors, Dr. Shipley in Gallatin, Dr. Savona at Vanderbilt, she wanted to be the perfect patient. And she would ask them, I am your favorite patient, right? She truly believed that, and why would she not be? She also was thankful for their work and that she was getting to be part of their efforts of helping others in a medical way. So she was thankful for what they were doing, but she was thankful that she was being part of those efforts to help others. Part of that love that she had was for this church, greeting visitors, taking new members to lunch were among her favorite things. And friends, what bothered her the most about these times of being sick was not the many trips to the doctor's office and being poked and prodded. It was that she was not here, that she was not greeting people. I really think she didn't think we could do it. And honestly, we couldn't do it as well as she did. But we're going to try. She taught Rehoboth how to be hospitable. She taught us how to reach out and to be Christ to one another. So I'm going to ask you to do something. Yes, this is a participatory service. How many of you received a card from Brenda? Yep, Phil, I think most all hands are up. Keep those hands up if you would. And how many of you were made to feel special, made to feel like you were the number one person in the world by Brenda? All the hands here are up, Phil. And she was wrong. A lot of people showed up. Here at Rehoboth, she loved serving. If something was going on, Brenda was in the middle of it, helping to organize it, plan it. She was in the middle of it, especially the lift, our ladies in faith together, whether planning a retreat or a luncheon, she was part of it. Our Wednesday morning ladies group, many of you don't know this, but Brenda called you Ruby's Rangers. We're very simple around here. We call it the Wednesday morning ladies group. But to Brenda, you were Ruby's Rangers. She loved you. She loved how much you love Kelly. She loved the relationship she poured out on others. Brenda would say, I pray. I pray for my church. I pray for the individuals as I know of needs, and I pray for the church as a whole. She had an amazing way of integrating her faith into her everyday life. And the image that you see up on the screen is a picture that she took from a women's retreat at Beersheba several years ago that hangs in this big auditorium gymnasium. That was their screensaver. She integrated her faith and what she did into her everyday life as a reminder of her faith that was so much part of who she is and was. Continuing in that thought of love, there's no doubt she loved God. She studied her Bible, and I wish you could have the privilege I had of sitting for hours, pouring through her Bible. It tells a lot about a person to look at their Bible, and friends, this thing is marked up with hundreds of notes, asterisks. She can tell who preached on what day, what they preached about. We clergy should be nervous. Also, throughout this Bible, she would write, wow, exclamation mark, by something she read. Frequently, the Word of God clung to her heart, and she was in awe. But besides being a wife and a mother, being a disciple were the things Brenda took most serious. She lived her faith. One place I saw in her Bible, she said, my passion is Rehoboth. I think her church was so important to her because it was the intersection of her family, people that she loved so much, and her faith. She loved this, her church. She loved the people. And she says, I just want to be the hands and feet of Christ. And we had a children's message about that this past Sunday that, again, Brenda inspired. She was intentionally sharing God's love and God's word with others. Verse 12 that I read to you talked about, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins. That never-ending presence of God. Brenda knew God's love. Brenda knew that she was forgiven and Brenda was quick to extend forgiveness to those around her. She didn't cling to the past. She didn't cling to a hurtful thought, a hurtful word. She forgave and she moved on because she had living and loving to do. But this psalm, written right here on this page, I've read it countless times this past week, Psalm 103, and it's on the back of your bulletin, and I invite you when you go home today and in the days ahead to read that psalm in its entirety, because it speaks to how we can strive to live as people of faith. But in here, she wrote by those verses, our solid ground. Her faith, the Word of God, was the solid ground for her in the way she lived. Well, I've shared with you scriptures that Brenda wanted us to look at today, and now I want to share with you a scripture that, for me, completely summarizes Brenda Byram's life. It's the Great Commission. It's Matthew 28, 19 and 20. So hear these words, and think about how much this is Brenda. Verses 19 and 20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. At the top of this page up here, she's got written in big letters, G-O exclamation mark twice. Go. If anybody ever went, if anybody ever made disciples, it was Brenda. She underlined make disciples, and friends, she did that. She underlined teaching them to obey, and she did that. If you sat in a class that she taught, a Bible study, a Sunday school class, she was a gifted teacher. But what stood out to me most in this that she underlined was the last verse. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. She knew God was with her each moment of each day. And she wrote until the end. She knew God was with her. She knew God was with her until the end. And friends, she knew after her earthly life was over, she knew where she was going. She taught me a lot about living as a disciple, but she also taught me a lot about dying as a disciple. Because 4 or 5 weeks ago, she started asking people to come in, to come and see her. She wanted time with them. She didn't want them to be surprised when they found out that she's done with this. These days are over. She's got something better to go on to. She was concerned about the people around her. And as a disciple, she knew that when this life on earth ends, eternity begins, and that, my friends, does not end. She was ready to go be with God. She was ready to spend eternity with God. And in my ministry focus here at Rehoboth, which is on discipleship, you've heard me say, Rehoboth folks, many times that discipleship is a lifelong process. Well, Brenda lived that process, that lifelong process of faith. And she knew that it didn't end, it continued in eternity. While looking through this precious, precious Bible, in Romans 8, she wrote, eternal life is ours. Why don't people know this? Friends, that's how Brenda lived. She knew eternity is ours. For us as people of faith, she knew. And she wanted every one of us to know that and to be certain of that. She had no fear of crossing over Jordan. There in the last week, she was ready. And even at moments, she would say, what is taking so long? I think she would want you to laugh there, folks. She really did say it. She was ready to go be with God. She was ready. One thing she kept saying to me, and probably to others in the last days, I don't want people to think I'm a quitter. I don't want people to think I gave up. And I didn't understand it at first. I thought, Brenda, no way. No way are people going to think you gave up. No way are people going to think you didn't do all you could do, because she did everything doctors said she could do. But friends, I came to realize that Brenda was not a quitter. Her body may have failed her, but her faith never failed her. Even in her final hours, she was pointing to God. So she didn't quit. Her body might have quit, but she was being a disciple until the very end. She was looking forward to where she was going, and she wanted us to know that it's okay. We'll see her again. I do think heaven just got a lot more organized. So, friends, I can stand before you and I can acknowledge my own grief. I can acknowledge I grieve for this family, especially Phil and Kelly. I grieve for this church. I grieve for this community. But I can stand before you with joy, because I know where she is. I know she is happy. I know she is well. I know she is whole. She's where she wants to be. And friends, that brings us joy in the midst of our tears, in the midst of our sorrow, in the midst of our grief. We are people of hope, and the hope is in the resurrection. Friends, Brenda's faith was great. Her faith never failed. Even when her body did, her faith never failed. She wanted us to know God. She wanted us to serve God, and she wanted us to be joyful and confident that eternity is awaiting us. She lived a great life. She loved in great ways. She had a great faith. And so may each one of us seek to live our life in these days after the model that she left for us, which, friends, I believe is the model that Christ gave to her and to us. Great is her faithfulness. And, friends, she is with God. Thanks be to God. Amen.